Hi, I'm Wendy.
I'm Lori.
Welcome to
Hot Topics,
Cool Friends. Welcome back. You know, this is the first time Hot Topics Cool Friends has done a part two. We have Trez Gregory back in the studio. Last time we went straight ahead. We were so excited to hear about her accomplishments and her history with music that we didn't get to really know where you came from and how it all started. So welcome back.
Yeah. Hey, Trez.
Hey, thank you for having me.
So, yeah, tell us. Okay, so where are you originally? Where were you born?
I'm from Toledo.
Nice.
Born in Toledo Hospital.
Uh-huh.
I went to Rogers High School.
Okay.
And I've been thinking about this, ladies, because I'm like, okay, so how did it all get started? Mm-hmm. So, you know, definitely just because CKLW was the big radio station in our area, mm-hmm. they played everything. And I loved all of that music, and it's what I'm doing now in my solo show. But I have a musical family, and a lot of people don't know that because I'm the one that gets the attention musically. But both of my parents sang very well. My mother was an excellent dancer, back in her youth. My oldest brother, who passed away in 71, he was in the theater department. He played cello, but not necessarily, you know, he was more into lighting and things. But then my brother that's still around, he plays drums, sings and dances. My sister has a beautiful voice and taught herself guitar, and we both played flute and piccolo. And then when I came along, and all of us took piano lessons, so that was just, my parents made that happen, forced that upon us, thankfully. And then, you know, I had, back in the day, we had music in the schools. So I chose clarinet, and then I moved to flute. So between the two of those, it was probably, I don't know, probably 8 years of that, and in the bands and everything. And then, you know, singing in the church a little bit. But I tell you what I remember the most and what I had the most fun was dancing in my basement in the dark, watching Michael Jackson on TV, not Johnny Carson, of course, back then, but mm-hmm. you know who I'm talking about. On television, yeah. The Jackson 5, I'm singing in the hairbrush and doing all the dances. And so that was, I remember that vividly, and of course fell in love with Michael Jackson. But, you know, that was very, I love those times because we had, you know, the Jackson 5, we had little Stevie Wonder, we had Jackie Wilson, we had Aretha, we had, oh God, just all, and then my parents listened to Nat King Cole, Lena Horne, Ella. You know, we had wonderful movies like Lady Sings the Blues. We had Mahogany. I don't know if you guys are familiar with.
100%.
But, you know, I'm getting goosebumps talking about it because it was everywhere and it was great music.
When did you say, wow, I can sing? I actually sound good doing this.
Well, probably, I would say my junior year in high school, maybe. And I contribute all of that to my choir teacher at Rogers, Elda Haddad. And she used to force me. I was in choir and ensemble, and she would force me to do the solos, and I really didn't want to. And I had a talk with her, and I said, Mrs. Haddad, you know, I just want to let you know that Michelle would love to sing the solos. Whatever you think you're doing, thank you, but I really don't want to do them. I really am horrified, you know. And she just gave me that look like, I don't care. I'm asking you to do the solos, period. I was like, okay. I thought you liked me and my family, you know.
Why are you torturing me?
Why are you doing this to me, you know?
Does she know you feel this way? Did you ever get to tell her?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. I told her that. Uh-huh. And then, and I'll make this very brief, but in Vegas one time, one show, when we were finishing up our runs there, somebody wanted to see me after the show. So they came and got me, and I get up, I'm walking across the stage, and it's Mrs. Haddad's best friend. Did I tell you this already?
Mm-mm.
On the last one? Okay. Mm-mm. So anyway, it's Mrs. Perry from Rogers. And I'm like, oh my God. We both just started crying. I couldn't even believe she
came to
really
Vegas.
Recognized me. And she said, Mrs. Haddad and I, we come here every year, but she's not well. And I knew that was you. And blah, 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 blah. And so that was really heartwarming. So when I got home, somehow my sister and I got Mrs. Haddad's phone number. And I called her. And I said, Mrs. Haddad, I just have to tell you, I cannot believe it. But I said, I'm playing in front of thousands of people. And people are paying to hear my voice because I was told nobody would ever do that. Ha, 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 ha. Trez, come on, you know, whatever, get real. And I thanked her. And she said, well, I knew what I was doing.
I love it.
And then she passed away very shortly thereafter. Aww. But, I attribute a lot of that to her and to, you know, my little keyboard player that, you know, would let me practice in the dark. And then he convinced me, come on, please, let's do this talent show at school. And I was like, oh, Lord, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do it. But we did it. And then we, you know, big applause. And then I sang at my graduation. Mm-hmm. Nobody had ever done that before. Horrified, nauseated, shaking, really upset about it. I just, as soon as I said I'd do it, I thought, oh, no. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, 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 I don't want to do that. And then I had all this anxiety. But I got through it and got
what
a standing ovation.
Sing?
I did a song that Mrs. Haddad picked for me. Mm-hmm. It was called You're Gonna Hear From Me, which I didn't understand all of it, but it was really about somebody that was gonna fly. You know, they were gonna start here and they were gonna fly, and you're gonna hear from me later, you know, and it was a very precious lyrics. Yep, mm-hmm. Very. And I just, too horrified to even absorb all of that, to be honest. But that was a big deal, and that was 5,000 people at the Masonic, and I was just nauseated and horrified. But I did a good job, and, you know, it's just, you know. And then I started doing weddings, and, of course, you know, singing at weddings is very special, and that's when I found the Donna Summer song that I did that I have a really beautiful story about that we won't get into today. But singing those love songs and singing for somebody's special day like that, I took it very seriously. So Brady, who was my first keyboard player, Brady Dandino, we picked great songs. And of course, back then we had Always and Forever by Heatwave. We had The Closer I Get to You by Donny Hathaway and Roberta Flack. We had We've Only Just Begun by the Carpenters. We had all these great songs to choose from. Not to mention the Chicago duets. We made them all a duet. You're My Inspiration. And, oh, just, you know, The Wedding Song, The Lord's Prayer, blah, blah, blah. All, we had so many to choose from back in the day. So Brady and I did a lot of weddings, and I did weddings for 10 years.
That's so great, because I tried to sing at one wedding, and thank goodness it was my uncle's, because I cried.
Oh,
I cried through the whole thing.
I understand.
I could never do that. So kudos to you.
Well, because you
get
knew
so
him,
emotional.
No, even
if I don't know, I cry. At, no,
yeah, that's true. Lori cries at the Pledge of Allegiance.
I do.
Okay. She does. So I
and
get
the
it.
National
right.
anthem.
And the
forget
national
it.
So you're sweet and sentimental.
Yeah. I don't know.
I
have a crying.
She's
going to
cry.
No, I'm not. No, I don't know. Anyway, I tried it once, and
it's
yeah,
a lot.
It did
it's
not
a lot.
Work. And my daughter, even she did a celebration of life, and I'm like, oh
yeah,
no, how is she getting through this and not crying? And I thought, oh, that's not good. Mm-hmm. And then when she was done, she like broke down. I'm like, oh, okay.
She holds it in.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, but I just did one 2 weeks ago and was all. Had to bring a fan up there where I was playing because I was like, okay, I'm just nervous and you just want to do a great job.
Well, you were at that
and
wedding with
Well, that's the one. That's what I'm talking about.
They said
about.
You did an amazing job. I said, well, of course you did.
Oh, thank you. But I was very flustered that day and I thought, wow, Trez, you've been singing 45 years. You haven't done weddings in 30. You got this. You know, I was still just like, ugh.
Do you find, you know, like with the music, because you sound like you were, you know, not happy with. Old school music is the best, and it's just not the same. So are you finding, like, you know, new songs are just harder to come by that are, or is it just because we're getting older and we just don't, you know, I don't, what is it?
You know what?
I don't know.
I'm going to watch my words
because
I don't want to sound too jaded. So I just went to the Motown Museum for the first time, which brought me back to my childhood and to a lot of things and where it started. So what I realized is I always say good music is good music. And I'm not saying the music of today isn't good. But to go from the full-on, we're talking about Berry Gordy and we're talking about Smokey Robinson now, okay? Mm-hmm. And Stevie Wonder and all that. So to go from those beautiful arrangements to start with, you know, the six-bar intros that led you into the verse and you're hanging on every word and then it builds to the chorus, then you go back to another verse, you do another chorus, and then you've got the bridge where the song leads you. I mean, we didn't even have to, all we had to do was just listen to it, you know? Mm-hmm. And then we had fantastic, phenomenal, over-the-top vocals, okay? So we're talking about everything from Aretha Franklin on down, because she was ridiculous, but you know, the Supremes and the Four Tops, and then you're talking about the Funk Brothers, who just, with their ailments, whatever, drinking too much or whatever, they're creating those five-note bass lines that are so fantastic that it lays the foundation for a whole song to be built with all this character. I mean, and then we have the real strings, and we have real trumpet players and real saxophone players. I mean, I just don't know how to, I can't beat that music. Yeah. So when I listen to, not to mention analog now, because I love analog, which things are digital now. So digital sound is thinner and more high-pitched. Analog is fat and full. So digital is like the ice cream, but analog is like it's dipped in chocolate.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's just a fatter sound. So I grew up with that. I love that. Right now I could pick digital out in 2 seconds, mm-hmm. you know? So I don't know how to untrain my ear to really enjoy as much, let's put it that way, mm-hmm. The songs that are like, the melody is only like five notes through the whole song.
Yeah.
That's it. Like, no, it I'm never goes anywhere. The journey is very, it's like driving through
Ohio. A lot of them
don't
even have a bridge.
It's like short
They don't even have a bridge.
Yeah.
And
it's
and you're and like, okay,
so,
you're waiting for it and it's well, not coming.
And they're so, and I love country music, y'all. You know, I did it for 7 years, but the country thing, right after Brooks and Dunn retired, country music changed. Sugarland was very influential, where they could take one song that went to number one, they water it down a little bit and shrink the melody, and then they change three or four notes, and then they re-release a second song that's a lot like the first song. And they make it. They make $1 million off of that. Hmm. And that started. I noticed that on country radio, and I thought, I can tell exactly where this song is going. I don't even know it. Mm-hmm. Never heard it before, but I know. We're traveling through Ohio. We're not in the mountains of Tennessee. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
So we're just going through the flatland and all the cornfields. You know, and I don't know. And I understand it monetarily. It's a lot easier. I understand, you know, I've been in that songwriter capital of Nashville, and I love the songwriters and the stories, but it got to where, and it wasn't just with country music, and I know this is an evolution, don't take me wrong now, because in the 80s, y'all, mm-hmm. you all.
I like y'all.
Okay,
y'all.
It's easier, it's quicker.
I like it.
but in the 80s, you know, they started using synthesizers. Mm-hmm. Now, I was performing 5 and 6 nights a week, so I remember that. I remember the drum machines. I remember the Kurzweil piano, where they were the first piano to have string sounds and some very cheesy saxophone sounds in a keyboard. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I was there during the evolution of that. But where it's gotten to now, and the fact that people can sit in their bedroom and just mm-hmm. plunk out something on GarageBand, which I'm not hating on GarageBand, mm-hmm. but I don't know.
I know.
And you both know what I'm doing for a living right now. You know, I'm using pre-recorded music, mm-hmm. and it's changed my life in a positive way.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, I'm in there. I'm paying 99 cents a song.
Mm-hmm.
But it just, as far
it's
as
just,
my
hard.
Appeal.
No, I don't know how to explain it like you do so eloquently because all the things you know. But I agree 100%.
Okay,
and like
so,
we want, oh, yeah, like bring it back to the old school feel. Like, is there any, even with rock and roll, which is, you know, what I love, I'm thinking mm-hmm. there's nobody like.
Right. Right. Well,
Aerosmith
or
Zeppelin. Like, there's a few, but I don't know. Like, how? I don't know how to explain it. But they're
not
there.
Well, I got you.
I feel like the new music, and Well, I feel like the talent, there's talent, but I feel like there's no comparison to what it used to be.
Amen.
And so I feel like the old classics and the old music is going to just continue to go on forever.
Well, that's why it's here now.
And
that's
the new music, it's just, it's, you know, a lot of one-hit wonders.
Yeah, yeah. It'll be gone
and
quick.
And it's there and it's gone because it's, like you said, it's not...
Mm-hmm. It's not thick. It doesn't have the depth.
And it's not real.
It's not, right. Yeah.
You know?
Right, really
and
is,
now
it.
With this AI,
oof.
Wait, do you know what it can do?
Yeah, it made me sound good.
But you can actually take it and it writes the song for you.
It does.
My son is livid. He's so mad.
I'm
because you have like my children who are songwriters that are very creative and have to really think and play around with different chords and different things.
Yep.
This, you just, there's an app and you put it in and it writes the song, you guys. It's not good.
I've actually written one and I'm not proud of it, but I never understood it. And for people that need music that don't know how to do that, I understand that it does provide. I get it.
Good point.
But to live in Nashville, y'all, with the songwriters, oh my God, they were off the charts. To grow up with Motown and then to live in Music City, and where people were writing songs, you know, on napkins, in being inspired by the band that's playing, and they're writing down these little lyrics, and then they fold them up and they put them in their pocket, and then, you know, that does turn into something, and they create these lovely things that we all enjoy. And then to go to the AI thing where you put ideas in and you get hit a button and then you give it a minute and then it creates an entire song. And actually, I'm going to be
and
honest,
I'm not
some of them aren't terrible.
No, some of them are
no, they're
great.
Actually very good.
Yeah.
But it's just, I guess it's going with the times. It's
well, we
having
don't have
to
a choice.
We just can't forget the past. That's
well, we
the
don't
key.
Have a choice.
Right.
That's
we
part
cannot.
Of the reason I'm doing
and
what
I
do
it.
Is keeping the old school and the Motown Museum. Anybody out there listening, I encourage you all in 2026 to please go take a journey into the brilliance of Berry Gordy and Smokey Robinson and get up in that because it was life-changing for me. So that's kind of, you know, how can you not win when you grow up with a foundation of, well, and I took ballet for 7 years, so to understand that
girl.
Classical, well, my mom and dad,
she
they
made
were
you
like,
busy. She,
get
not,
out of the house.
Do not get in trouble. You're going to do all these things.
Get busy, get out of the house, and get some education in the world,
yeah.
you know, and I'm very thankful for that. But, you know, all of that, to grow up with all of that and to know, these kids today don't even know what they're missing, really, unless we play those old songs for them. So I can't untune my ears. I can't do it. So I grew up with the old stuff. That's what I love. I know most of those songs in, like, you know, 10 seconds. You know who it is. You know what song it was. You know, and that's why I'm proud of the age that I am. And I'm never, I don't care. People know. Because I know I grew up with the great stuff because of that. So it blesses me. I'm very full and very thankful with all of that. Not to mention jazz, of course, but, you know, just all of the wonderful music of the day. Those great artists who fought tooth and nail to even get their stuff out because there was so much racism and people were stealing, you know, from them back then.
And they kept on going.
They
thank
kept on
goodness.
Going, and
yep.
they've given us so much. I just feel very blessed.
Yep.
Very 100%. Blessed.
I'm a big Elvis fan, and I know he wouldn't be here without all of them.
Oh,
I mean, I
absolutely.
Love that whole story about all that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So let's do some rapid fire questions.
Okay.
Early bird or night owl?
Night owl.
Are you? What time do you go to bed? You're late, like. You
well,
start...
I work a lot of nights,
true,
so
true.
It takes me a couple hours to wind down after I get off work and tear down, load up. I would say my average is probably 12:30.
Yeah.
But if I don't go to bed then I'm up till 2. You know.
Yeah.
I pass that tired window and then I'm up. And when I try to go to bed early, it's like 11:30, which is
really not early.
That's not early for a lot of people. It's all good. I went to bed early last night. Ish.
Because we had.
I thought we were going to. We were done playing at 8:30. We didn't get home till 11. I'm like, okay, there's something wrong with this picture.
Yep.
My God.
I think I do my best thinking after, like, between 8 and 11. But then after that, it's like, oh.
So tired.
Frizzled, yeah. Let's see. Did we ask you before who your dream duet partner was, alive or gone?
Ooh, no. Oh, my goodness. Wow. I don't know that I have one, mm-hmm. but I will tell you this. I would like to sing with several artists mm-hmm. because I like to blend. And I like I like male-female voices together. I like different timbres together. So, you know, Michael McDonald's the first one that comes to my mind, of course, because I was obsessed with him. But, oh, my goodness. I don't even know.
That's sort of like that's question. Okay. It's like asking what your favorite song is because it's not.
Yeah, how
it's
can not you say?
Yeah, it's like a feel.
But there's a lot of mm-hmm. I love duets, and it's mm-hmm. not all about me. I love to blend with people. So mm-hmm. if anybody wants me to do a little something with them out there, just call me because I love that. I love it. I love blending with voices.
Vinyls, CDs, or streaming? Do you have any? Do you have a record player?
I do. Mm-hmm. I have an old school, mm-hmm.
big old. A wooden
that
one.
Actually mm-hmm. works, you
nice.
Know?
Yeah.
So I have, and then my brother, when I, he had to leave his home, I probably have 3,000 albums. Mm-hmm. But it, you know, I'm not sitting around and lollygagging and listening to music like that. But,
yeah. but they're nice.
Boy,
to
I just... used to. Mm-hmm. Oh, I warped a couple albums because I played them so much
Same.
Back in the day.
Pink Floyd and, well, Fleetwood Mac, for sure.
Yay.
I think
yep.
I got three of those because yep. I'm like, yep. sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
But, you know, there's nothing like that.
Uh-huh. And being able to pick the needle up and like, I just want this.
Yep, yep. Right. Putting a penny on the stylist to hold it down a little bit. Yeah, love that stuff.
Those were the days.
All the kids need to experience that.
They do.
They do.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Oh, if you weren't a musician, what would you be doing? Oh.
Well, okay, so let me tell you this. I always, after I was about like 25, I thought, and I'm not going to tell you who inspired this because I don't want to speak poorly about anyone that I really do love and admire and respect, but a local vocalist back in the day, I saw something where I was like, oh my gosh, what would she ever do if she wasn't doing music? And I sensed that. And it triggered me, and I was like, oh, you know what? I don't want to just do this because what happens if you lose your voice? Then what are you going to do, you know? So I'm a great bartender, and I love doing that. I developed a children's program. You know, I've always wanted to kind of work with kids, and I feel like being the black sheep of my family, I didn't really understand how I survived some things and then got – to where I got. So through that whole thing, I realized some things about my childhood and how blessed I was. And kids aren't getting this today. And so I have a children's program that I came up with. I haven't really moved forward with it, but I would love to do that. I'd love to be involved in that. Mm-hmm. I also am big about organ donation. So I would like to be an advocate for that, and I might even do that like soon anyway, because I could do that and still do music. And then, you know, I'm a really great go out to eat person and socialize, so I'm a professional at that.
we should all start our own little, like, you know, we're gonna rate the restaurants mm-hmm. and you know, just like
check the wine,
make sure it's okay,
make sure it goes well with this particular
mm-hmm.
meal.
Mm-hmm.
We're already seasoned professionals,
right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I started waitressing. I said, well, I don't have experience, and then I go, yes, I do, because I had to
eat, I was
on the road for 3 years, so you had to eat out. So
yep.
I know exactly what I like and what I don't.
Yep,
you know?
exactly.
So one last question: what advice would you give to someone your age as a junior in high school,
okay,
wanting to be a musician or what? Yeah, getting
okay.
into the field.
Okay, so I would say, first of all, you know, get yourself assessed and see what your skills are, because if you don't have, if you're tone deaf, maybe you need to get into doing something else and be real about it. Okay,
mm-hmm.
Talk to somebody older and find out what it's really about, because it's not about the voice. It's not about America's Got Talent. It's not about I put a couple things on TikTok and I get a lot of likes, and it's not about that. Be prepared to persevere, because there's a lot of rejection. There's a lot of hard work. And sometimes your family isn't supportive. So you're fighting because you want to share your gift. And they're going, you need to get a real job. And if you need to decide if you really want to do it, because it's not easy. And the glamour part, that doesn't even come till way later. And it's not glamorous now. I've been doing it 45 years. And I love to show people when I set up in certain clothes, you know, and my baseball cap and my gloves on and my different shoes and all this stuff, get everything set up. And then I go, okay, I'm going to whip, dip, and flip. I'll be right back, you know.
Whip, dip, and flip.
Yeah. Well, I just did that last night at the University of Toledo for their tip-off. And, I mean, I came in there looking a little bit scary, but I was like, hey, this is a big load in. It's a lot of stuff. It's everything I have, you know. And then I had, like, 12 minutes to get in there and whip, dip, and flip. And when I came back out, a couple people were like, whoa,
is that the same girl?
Is that the same person?
Whoa. Oh, it made me laugh. But you have to be prepared for that. Mm-hmm. And the sweat, you know, in the summertime, it's so hot. Mm-hmm. So you, all of that, there's just, there's a lot of very unglamorous things. And to get on the tour bus is very difficult. Yeah. It's very difficult. It doesn't happen for most. So if that's your dream, then you better really, you know, hone your craft, be a good person. Don't be arrogant. There's no room for it. There's no room for ego. It just messes up everything. Remember that there's a lot of very talented people in the world, and it's not all about you. If you happen to get to the upper echelon, get on your knees and just thank God, because there's a lot of grace and angels and things that happen if you do it without screwing people over. Mm-hmm. So it's a very humbling, it's a humbling life. And I say get 2 feet in the humility, because it's not all about you. There's so many singers and guitar players and dancers and more now than ever.
That's great advice.
Mm-hmm. It's real.
Really, really good
advice.
And they
can call me if they need a little reality. I'm
there
happy
you
to
go. You
lay it on them.
Yeah, you can be the mentor. Yep,
you learn
sure.
the reality and the struggles before you learn the glamour.
Oh, absolutely.
Because you go out and watch a band and you're like, oh, I want to sing in a band.
Yes.
And then you get a job and you're like, oh,
this,
okay.
I'm tired. It's 11 o'clock. We have
this
another set. What? Oh, my feet hurt.
There's only 5 people watching.
There's only 5
what?
People. They're not
talking,
even clapping.
They're eating their food. Like, what is wrong with these people?
Oh, my God. The Holiday Inn French Quarter was the best training
oh,
for
miss
that.
I the French Quarters.
Me too. I loved it. I loved it. But we would say, okay, so we're singing Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. There's 6 people in here. So you have to sing the same. And then by the time Friday came, and then it was packed, and everybody's requesting songs, and they're like, I Will Always Love You. They want to hear that 3 times a night. And I'm like, I'm so tired. I'm exhausted. I've already been here all week, you know. And then it's packed. And it's Saturday. You have Sunday off and Monday off, and you come back to Tuesday, and it's crickets out there again. So yeah. It's a constant up and down, mm-hmm. up and down. And you have to pull yourself in and go, you know what? I'm going to give my level of professionalism has got to stay where it works for me consistently. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter who's there. It doesn't matter if they're clapping. It yeah. doesn't matter if they're eating. It doesn't matter if we get tips. None of that matters. You got to pull it in. And it's not all about, hey, 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 look at me. Watch mm-hmm. me. Listen to me. Mm-hmm. It's
yeah,
not all about that.
All.
Right, Lori?
No.
Yeah.
Woo. Sometimes you ask yourself, like, why do you do it? But because Wendy said, but you, like, because I'll complain. Well, I got to we have to do this.
Oh,
because
yeah.
once you're on stage,
yeah.
it's such
adrenaline.
It's a stress reliever.
It's freedom. Yep.
It's just indescribable.
Yep.
So yeah, I'm gonna complain about it before
right.
I go to a show because
oh,
I'm
God.
Mad that I have to do all this. And then once I'm there, I'm like, oh, this is great. You know?
I know.
It's so hard to explain though. You know?
It is. Do we have
absolutely.
30 seconds?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I've been very blessed with this Delbert McClinton and Friends Blues Cruise that I've done for 11 years. What a gift. Oh, my gosh, what a gift. And I went as a guest 2 years and then got hired and I've been singing with someone for 9 years. So there were 2 years where I got to sing with these 2 fabulous ladies. And I had to learn 38 songs 1 year and 42 songs the following year. And all my working, I mean, in between my gigging and traveling and everything else. And it did stress me out. It was a lot. And I didn't have my technical stuff together. So I was literally writing out lyrics. It wasn't like an iPad with lyrics and notes on it, or, you know, it was old school. You know, it kind of traumatized me a little bit those 2 years. Now, once I got on the stage and we kind of, you know, I'd have to drive to Nashville for rehearsal, drive back to Toledo, then fly out of Detroit, get to Fort Lauderdale, get on the boat. Then we'd have two or three rehearsals on the ship, you know, within, and then having four or five shows. I mean, it was way more than anybody understood. And everybody was like, oh, I'm so jealous. You're so lucky. Da, da, da. And I'm like, or they would say to me, girl, I didn't even know you were on the ship this year. And I'm like, I know, because I've been in my room going over my 38 songs.
Yeah.
Right. Let's get real. I'm only coming out for a little bit of food and walk a little, going right back in there, you know? So it was a great accomplishment. I'm proud that I did it. I got to sing with, and I want to say her name, Lari White. It's L-A-R-I White, and you can look her up on YouTube, and she's also in the movie Tom Hanks, and he's on the island.
Castaway.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. Lori's at the very end of Castaway, and she was just a wonderful soul, and she ended up passing away very quickly of ovarian cancer, but I got to sing with her for 2 years, and she was like, I never even been around a vocalist like that. Probably like me singing with Aretha, because the range, the professionalism, all of her skills. And then I also sing, and I'll drop Etta's name, Etta Britt, who is still with us. Etta's amazing, lots of experience. I was very flattered to be hired by them, okay? Mm-hmm. So I knew I had to get it together. But the stress of learning the 38 songs, let somebody just wrap your mind around 38. And a lot of them were songs I'd never heard before. They were originals.
Yeah.
So I'm new coming into these songs, and Lori had very complicated arrangements for the back of vocals. I was stressful, could hardly sleep, you know, just really trying to wrap my mind around it. So that's some of the very unglamorous things. Now, then you get on stage, you get through the first show, and you're like, oh, thank you, Jesus. Mm-hmm. I only made three mistakes, and they weren't
big.
And
no one even probably knew, but
and they
you.
Probably didn't yep, know. I was no like, okay. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that kind of stuff is like going to work.
Yeah,
working in the coal mine, going down, because that's just, you're by yourself and you got to cram.
It's almost, yeah, it's like cramming for an English exam every day.
Absolutely. Yep.
Yeah, we were on the road, we couldn't have words on stage. Ooh, it was not allowed.
You had to learn everything.
And
wow.
We each did 17 leads a night, and then you had to keep up with the new songs. So yep. You're like, you had to learn the words.
Oh, my gosh.
Like,
memorize
them.
That's a whole different perspective.
Thank God you're young.
Yeah.
And you can remember.
Right.
Like now. Forget
it. Oh. It'd be the menopause cruise.
Yeah,
what?
Totally. Yeah.
I'm just saying one word all day. That's all.
Well, yeah. It's funny because on the iPad, the words are so large.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a table right, you know, when we're at, there's a table right there. And like, if you want to sing along, just.
You can see my lyrics.
Look at my lyrics.
God, totally. Oh, yes. So, that's
well, now we don't have to. We already asked you why you were our cool friend last time.
What we just know. We're
we
so
are,
excited.
Yeah.
That
you ladies are the coolest
cool
in town. So.
We're glad that on the second session, you still want to be our friend.
Of
let's
course. Of course.
Well, thank
and let's
you.
Whip, dip, and flip together sometime.
Yes, we are, yeah. Let's name this episode that.
Whip, dip, and flip.
Whip, dip,
whip,
and flip.
Dip,
okay.
I'm going to use that.
I stole that from a friend.
That's okay.
We
but
love
it's
that.
True.
Yeah.
It is, it's true.
We all whip, dip, and flip every day.
We are so good at it, aren't
wow,
we?
Yes.
Thank goodness for the whip, dip, and flip. Thank you, Jesus, for that.
Oh, on that note, well, thank you for coming.
Thank
again.
You for having me, ladies. Thank
I think
you
we
so
could do
much.
Part 3, 4, 5, and 6. We did. I mean, I know there's things we didn't.
I would love to tell my Donna some
yes.
story sometime.
Yes, so. Let's do it. Let's
I
do
know it.
Sometime.
She could be our first part 1, 2, 3.
Yay. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us today on Hot Topics Cool Friends. I'm Lori.
And I'm Wendy.
We would like to give a special thanks to
Chris Pfeiffer, our executive producer, and
Gary Wagner, who wrote and produced our music.
If you guys have any questions or comments and you want to listen to more of these wonderful episodes, head on over to WGTE.org/coolfriends or anywhere you stream your podcast.
And remember
to thank your local business owner
and go out and hear a local musician.
WGTE voices around us.